When I first adopted Arena, I would say for several years, I just felt haunted by her mother. You know, it was always on my mind that this joy in my life was at the expense of another woman. And it was really important to me to find a way to let her mother know that she was okay. And when she was 2.5, maybe, there, I don't know if it still exists, but it was, I think it was called Red Thread. It was somebody that had a contact in China and that would arrange for this gentleman to go to the finding location given in your paperwork and photograph it and the surrounding area or whatever you asked for. And so I did that. And I asked if the gentleman, you know, could visit not only the finding location, but photograph the local village. And, you know, I specified sites. And I also asked him to photograph the local fauna and foliage, I think was how I put it. And he did all those things, and we got these pictures. And it was immediately evident that the location was very isolated and outside of town. It was in the countryside. When I saw it and I realized how isolated it was, I knew that whoever supposedly left her there, and they did talk to the so-called finder, and, you know, he did verify that he had found her at this location, and, you know, everything checked out. It was the legitimate location. So my assumption after that was that, yes, that she was found there, and that it was maybe half a mile outside of a very, very small dirt road village, very impoverished village. And I assumed that word of mouth would get to the birth family, that someone from America had sent him to take these pictures, that someone cared enough to do that. And that they would know, therefore, that she was adopted and living in the United States and that she was okay. I just was certain that the birth family, whether or not they were in the area, that they had a connection, or they wouldn't have chosen such an isolated finding spot. And as it turned out, my conclusion was correct, but the assumptions were wrong. And that's always the way it is with China. Nothing ever turns out the way you think it will be. And as it turned out, the finder wasn't the finder. He was an adoptive father and also a third cousin or a second cousin. But family planning came and took her from this adoptive home. And he never told anyone, not even when our searcher contacted him. It turned out our searcher grew up in a village 2 miles away and had known this man all his life. And he himself, you know, was the father of a child that had been taken by family planning. And so I thought, you know, if a finder knows more, surely they're going to open up to someone like that. But even then, he said, I know, he didn't tell the story. He just said, I do know who her birth parents are and where they're located, but I can't tell you unless I get permission from a third party. And apparently he never got that permission because he never told. So then the searcher and his older daughters just went and started canvassing the village. And then someone remembered that her grandmother had a baby in the home around the time all this happened and told her, and it turned out that she had been looking for Arena ever since she had been taken, you know, all those years. And she immediately went to the finder, and then he sent her to the searcher. And then he formally introduced us to the birth family via video chat on QQ. It was very interesting because it was, you know, very deliberately done. And Arena's father couldn't come. He couldn't get away from work. So it was the mother and one of the daughters, the oldest daughter, Lee, and her youngest brother, and he still lived in Pingxiang. He was the only family member on her side, I think, still there, aside from her mother. And so he represented the family, and he did all the talking. And it was just very, very interesting because they had their own way of doing things. And, you know, it was very formally done. And, you know, they were very eager to tell us what had happened. And he told me that they felt great guilt and shame over what had happened, and that when they had learned that she had been taken by family planning and they weren't told right away, I don't know how they found out, they actually traveled to the orphanage and asked for her back, and they were told it was too late, that she was in a foster home. And, of course, the orphanage isn't going to give up that financial investment at that point. I mean, I've never heard of a birth parent retrieving their daughter once the daughter was in the orphanage. I've never heard of that happening. And they felt terrible. And they kept thanking me and thanking me for raising her and doing a good job. And I finally said, please, you know, stop thanking me. It's very uncomfortable, you know, because I love Arena so much, and it's been an honor and a privilege, and she's my daughter. Don't thank me for raising my daughter. It's all kind of a tragedy. You asked me, I think, why...
why you searched. And it sounds like it was almost a sort of mystical thing that you always knew you would.
I always knew I would, but honestly, the main reason was I just couldn't stand to think of her family suffering. But at that point, when Arena was 14, you know, I had read enough and found out enough to know that there was a lot of controversy, and that some kids who are internationally adopted think that it should always be the child's search and the parent should never intervene, the adoptive parent. And, you know, I didn't buy that, but, and I knew that at 14 years old, the trail was going to get cold if I didn't do it pretty soon. So I asked Arena if she was okay, and, you know, there's no way she can give full consent, but she certainly had the maturity and the intellectual ability to understand it was a complex situation, and that once they were found, there was no going back. And, you know, she agreed to that, and she felt that it was important to know the truth about what had happened. Of course she wanted to know, and of course, that was a major motivation for me, but honestly, the primary motivation was I just couldn't stand to think about her family suffering and not knowing at least that, you know, she was okay and that they could have communication with her if they wanted.
And she's been in contact with them now for 2 years. You've been
Almost two years, okay. Yeah.
And what is that process like for you of the video chats? Every few weeks, you all talk. Has that changed over time?
Well,
what is that like for you?
It's settled into a pattern of every 6 weeks, about, approximately. And they will invariably call her, whether it's scheduled or not, when there's a holiday. And they made it very clear from the beginning that she's important to them, that she's valued, that she's a member of their family. And even if they don't have something scheduled when there's a holiday, they call her because that's part of the holiday, is that the family is together. And the first thing they did after we met the two times on video chat, and Arena's Chinese teacher came from high school and did the, well, we went to her apartment and she did the translating. And so those conversations were very productive. Also, the family had a story they really wanted to tell. So that was very productive. But Arena often comments that we don't know much more about them 2 years later. And it's true, we don't. And the cultural differences are so vast. You know, they're basically a hardworking peasant family. As far as I can tell, the family had lived in the area of this village for probably thousands of years. They couldn't tell me how long it had been. You know, it had been that long. You know, and they had their own grave, you know, part of the graveyard, that, you know, their family tomb area or whatever you call it. And so they were the first from this family to leave the area, and I think they were driven to it by desperation, you know, poverty, extreme poverty. And I think shortly after they lost Irina, their financial situation apparently improved immensely. And I think they would have paid the fine to keep her if they had been able to. But it's very hard to know, really. It's very hard to get a straight answer. If you have a question, you know, I found it's better just to listen to their story, because then when I asked questions, I got inconsistent answers. And I think that for Ping, her mom, it was a tremendously traumatic event, and I think she has a lot of post-traumatic stress symptoms. And her memories of giving birth to Irina and after the birth are very patchy, very inconsistent. So I just dropped it with the questioning. It was just causing pain. And, you know, I was just satisfied with what we learned.